Well, good morning again, everybody. I want to say good morning to everybody over at our East York campus and also everybody down at our gathering services. On these 40 days of prayer, we trust that the Lord will do awesome things in all of our venues as God's people here at COD gather together to seek His face. This morning, we want to talk about this idea of wrapping our hearts and wrapping our heads around the subject of prayer. And so welcome everybody in all of our venues here today. You know, I remember as a young pastor, I was 23 when I started out as a pastor. As I like to joke, there's probably something illegal about that. I'm not sure, but I was 23. We were out in Ohio, and I was in this little country church, and I was fresh out of Bible college, and so I had studied about prayer, certainly learned about prayer and all that stuff, but the truth of the matter is that I wasn't really a prayer the way I should have been a prayer, for sure. And I can remember as I began to read books by people like E.M. Bounds and A.W. Tozer and others of those, I began to ask God to help me to develop my prayer life. And I can still remember many mornings in at my office or in the sanctuary of that little church, kind of walking around, praying, learning how to pray, asking God to just develop my prayer life into a vibrant prayer life. You know, I think when it comes to the subject of prayer, it's so overwhelming, isn't it? It's so sometimes, you know, scary for us, and it's such a huge, huge subject. In fact, if you just Google the word prayer, you can do that even as you're sitting there, you will get some 600 million results. You'll find that there are 5 million books out there about prayer. If you just pop on images there, put the word prayer in there and just pop on the word images, then you'll find images there promoting everything from Protestant prayers to Catholic prayers to Mormon prayers to prayer for different parts of the world and prayer for healing and prayer for unity and prayer for help and even prayer for animals. Norma Bubb would probably like that for sure. But, you know, one of the things that one of the verses of Scripture that I love is found in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, where when it comes to praying to the living God, Habakkuk said this. He said, "Lord, I have heard the news about you. I am amazed at what you have done. Do great things once again in our time. Make those things happen again in our days." And that's really our prayer as a church for these 40 days of prayer. And so this morning, to just kind of help bring some clarity to what should be a fairly simple subject, because prayer is really nothing more than an honest conversation with the living God, we want to kind of wrap our hearts and our heads around this big subject this morning. Let me begin with a couple introductory thoughts that you have there on your notes. The first one is this. We have been, I believe, wired to pray. Even though you might wrestle with prayer, church, you've been wired to pray. You know, I've heard it 100 times as a pastor. "Pastor Bob, you know, I don't really know how to pray. Could you help me pray? Could you help me learn how to pray?" And yet when you think about it, everybody prays, right? Buddhists pray, Hindus pray, Muslims pray, Christians pray, Jews pray, even atheists. If they hit their thumb hard enough with a hammer, they're going to say something like, "Oh God," right? In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says that God has put eternity in your heart and mine. That means that we all are souls. We have a soul. We have been wired instinctively to know that there is more to life than what we see. We have a longing, as it were, to know God and to be known by Him. We are wired to pray. There's something else there. I think also, secondly, we struggle with prayer. We struggle with prayer. In fact, if I asked you to write one word that might describe your prayer life, many of you might say awkward, hard, mysterious, unsatisfied, incomplete. I don't know anybody who would claim that they would have a PhD in prayer. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, we don't know what we should pray for. We have those times. It's interesting to me that when it came to the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ who followed him, they never, to my knowledge, said, Lord, teach us how to do miracles. They never, to my knowledge, said, Lord, teach us how to teach. But what they did say in Luke chapter 11 and verse 11 was this, Lord, in verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. It's because we struggle, I think, with prayer. And then also, we have some misconceptions about prayer. Some of us think that prayer is a magic wand and God is somehow our genie. Abracadabra, give me a BMW, right? Or hocus pocus, help me to focus here. And we think that if somehow we say the right words, God will do what we want him to do. Now, listen to me this morning, church. God is not your servant, you are God's servant. Can I get a witness on that? You are God's servant. I am God's servant, nor is God our fire extinguisher, right? You know what a fire extinguisher says? Break the glass only in an emergency, right? So some of us, that's what we do with prayer. We're only there in an emergency. Nor is prayer some tug of war with God. Some of us have this idea that if we just keep badgering God, eventually he'll say, all right, enough already, I'll give you what you want. No. Prayer is an honest conversation with the living God. If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, get that down. Prayer is an honest conversation with the living God. Glory to God for that. And so let's just bow together this morning and pray and ask God to just be our teacher today as we open up the scriptures. Father, thank you so much for this privilege to wrap our heads and our hearts around prayer. And I pray that you'll speak to us in a deep way today. In Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. So let's talk first of all this morning about this idea that God loves when we pray. Number one, God loves when we pray. If you have your Bible, if you go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, I love these verses. They really talk to us, I think, about the heart that God has for every single one of us in this room this morning, every single one of us who follows him. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 11. These are the words of the living God to you and to me. And listen to what God has to say to us. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." I love these words. We left off, actually, last week as a congregation with this verse. And this morning, what I want you to see is the context of these verses. The context is a strong and a good father. This is a father who knows your situation and mine. This is a father, look at what it says there, who has plans for your situation and my situation. This is a father who responds when we seek his face. I love that. And so we're not saying that prayer is just making sure we have all the right words in line. Prayer is not, you know, speaking to God in Shakespearean English, having a bunch of these and thous. No, this is not Downton Abbey and God is not British, church, right? This is an open, honest conversation with a God who has at his heart your best and mine. I love those words. You know, one of the things I loved about our kids growing up was that I could talk to my kids. I love that. I actually thought my kids were the best thing since peanut butter. I hope you feel the same way. But my wife says sometimes we created, you know, monsters with our kids. We wanted to build into them. And I love talking to them, love spending time with them. My daughter and I used to go for long walks. We always hit the ice cream stand on the way home from that walk. My older son and I love to go out on the golf course, and about hole number two or three, we just start talking, letting our guard down and talking to each other about our lives. My youngest son and I, let's just say that our talks about politics and theology are legendary for sure. But let me ask you this morning, let me ask you this, church, did your first words, did your first sentence make sense? My guess is no. I doubt you came out of the womb saying, you know, 47 years ago, our forefathers married our four mothers and we had four kids. That probably didn't happen to you, right? When you spoke your first words, you probably struggled to speak. But you know what? Your parents rejoiced at every little word that you spoke. And I ask you today, look at those words on the screen. Look at what God says in Jeremiah 29. Why is it any different with God? This is one of the reasons why I love to hear new believers pray. How about it, church? There's no pretense. There's no lingo. There's no flowery words. There's just a heart honesty toward a God who has our best interests at heart. I want you to get this down in your notes this morning. God loves you at every stage of your life. He's not waiting for you to get to a certain level. He wants you to learn to pray now. And nothing is off limits with Him. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I can't pray about that. He's not going to want to hear me talk to Him about this. Hey, He already knows. Right? He already knows your life. Look at what it says in 1 John. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, you ought to underline or circle that word, anything, according to His will, He hears us. Are you concerned about world peace? Talk to Him about it. Has your heart been broken? His heart's been broken too. Do you need a breakthrough in your marriage or your job or your finances or your child's life? Prayer is a relationship. It's not a ritual, church. It is a privilege. It's not a duty. We get to talk to the Creator of the universe. And the Bible says that we can talk to Him about anything. His interests are ours. God loves when you pray, when I pray. There's a second thing I want you to think about today. I want you to think about the idea that God listens to our prayers. God listens to our prayers. If you go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and these are words that Jesus spoke just before He gave us what's called the Lord's Prayer. And by the way, we're going to be thinking a little bit about the Lord's Prayer, I think, in the third message that we have together. We're going to be hearing it sung. We're going to be repeating it as well from time to time. But just before Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, you know, where He taught us to pray, He said these things to His disciples. Listen to these words here in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him." Now, as I said, these are words that Jesus gave in response to the disciples' request to teach them how to pray. And he introduces this prayer that has been used so powerfully in my own life, and I know in many of our lives as well. But the introduction, I think, is huge because Jesus is saying that prayer is not performance art, right? We don't pray to impress others. We don't pray for the praise of man. We don't think to ourselves, you know what, buckle up, everybody, because I'm going to blow you away with my prayer here. Now, that's not prayer. Prayer is not spouting cliches. Oh, thou potentate, great potentate of the universe. It's not that. Prayer is an honest conversation with God. And so I want you to get this down in your notes as well. Longer is not stronger when it comes to prayer. You know, God already knows what you need before you ask him, Jesus said. And I know some of us are thinking to ourselves, well, then why do I even need to pray? Here's why, church. There's one reason. Are you ready? It's going to be very, very amazing. I'm going to say something so profound here, it's going to blow you away. You know what? God told you to pray. That's it. That's it. God told us to pray. There's a lot of mysteries, for sure, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to unanswered prayer. We're going to talk about some of that later on in this series. But the bottom line is that God said that you and I need to pray. And if God said that, then I'm going to believe that. And like I said, church, a whole lot of words aren't necessary. It's interesting, when you begin to look at the Lord's Prayer, depending on what version you look at there or what gospel it's found in, there are about 65 words in the Lord's Prayer. Think about that. 65 words. And so clearly God is not looking for lots of words. What God is looking for is sincerity and humility and honesty and heartfelt response to him. God loves when you and I pray. God listens to every single one of our prayers. God listens to our prayers. And then there's a third thing I want you to think about. And it is this, that God loves to answer our prayers as well. God loves to answer our prayers. God not only just loves it when you pray, and he's not just this being out there in the universe that hears everything but doesn't act. No, God loves to answer your prayers and mine. He loves to do this. You say, how do I know that? Well, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Is this this amazing verse of Scripture? And it tells us that God answers our prayers. Let's read it together. In all of our venues, can we do that? All of our venues, Jeremiah 33, 3, it's on the screen. Let's read that together, church. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And so if there's any doubt today about whether God answers prayer, church, right there it is. What is God saying? Call to me, and I what? I will answer. I will answer you. In fact, I'm going to share some great things God says with you. Jesus said it in a number of different places, but in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened up to you. James said this, he said, you have not because you ask not. 1 John says, if you ask anything according to his will, we can be sure that he's going to answer us. Why do we believe this is true? Because of what Jesus said about God in Matthew chapter 7. He said, so if you who are sinful or imperfect people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now I know some of you are thinking, well, hold it a second, Pastor Bob. I prayed for healing, I prayed for a better job, I prayed for my marriage, I prayed for this, I prayed for that, but I didn't get the answer that I wanted. I didn't get the answer yet. Well, you know what? God's not finished yet. That story's not been written completely. Let me ask you this today. Do you know any parent in the entire world who gives their child everything they ask for? That might be why right now you haven't received what's happened. That would ruin any child. And so you need to get this down in your notes. I want you to think about this. God loves us too much to say yes to everything. Got to get a witness on that? We may not understand why, but we're not God. And you know, sometimes God says no to us for a number of reasons. Sometimes God says no for our protection. We don't know what we're asking. And God says, you know, no. That's not going to be best. Sometimes God says no for our correction. God is doing some things in other places in our lives, and he wants to work on those things before he gives us this. And so sometimes God says no for our direction. We want to go in this path, and God says, no. That's not best for you. I want you to go in this path. And then I think sometimes God says no for our inspection. In other words, there are times when God says no. I know in my own life when God says no, I want to know why. Is there something going on in my life? Maybe I need to change some things. Maybe I need to work on some things. And so I find that God says no for protection, correction, direction, and even inspection. It causes me to look deep down inside in my life. And so, you know, for some of us wrestling with this, you know, think about this. God is not a vending machine, you know, where you put your prayer in and out comes whatever you ordered. Sometimes a vending machine will give you stuff that's bad for you. Right? But here's what I want you to think about, church. God always answers our prayers. And I think he does it in one of five ways. Many times God says yes. You know, we seek his face. We pray, we listen to him, we pray according to his will, and God says, bingo, I'm going to give that to you. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait, not done here yet, just not time right now. Sometimes God says if, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will hear. Sometimes God says, I want you to work, and then sometimes I think God sits in the heavens and says, you got to be kidding me here. I just threw that in for a little fun today. The Bible does say in the book of Psalms that God sits in the heavens and laughs. Maybe sometimes at our prayers. But I have it in your notes today. Maturity, I think, is when we realize that God's delays are not always God's denials. That's huge, church. Sometimes God says, you know, I have every intention of giving you this, but you're not ready for this yet. You need to grow. And then I'm going to give you something huge. I think, church, if you go back with me to Jeremiah 33 and verse 30, verse 3, I think that's what God is saying in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. I think God is saying, you know what? What I really want, sometimes I want to give you a bigger perspective. Sometimes I want to give you a bigger vision. Sometimes I want to give you a bigger heart. That's why sometimes I think we pray and God says, you have no idea what you're asking here. You think that's going to make you happy? No, trust me, it's not going to make you happy. I've got something bigger in mind than you can't even imagine it. Call to me. Call to me. And my answer is not going to be yes, but my answer is going to be that I'm going to show you great and mighty things. I'm going to show you unsearchable things. I'm going to show you things that you could never have acquired on your own. God giving us a bigger picture, a bigger perspective, sometimes even a bigger answer than we could have dreamed. I want to just testify this morning that I am living proof of that. Without God intervening in my life as a 19-year-old young man, breaking up a relationship that I was in way back when, that was leading me away from his very best, I thought it was the best thing for me. It wasn't. It was hurtful. When that was broken up. But without God doing that, I would not be in the ministry today. I would not be married to Karen. I can't imagine not being married to Karen. I would not have my Allie, Drew, and Nate. And who cares about the kids? I wouldn't have my beautiful grandkids that I have today. Glory to God for not giving me what I thought I wanted. Can I get a witness, church, on that? How about your life? How many times have you prayed about something, you thought it was the best thing, and it turned out to be the worst thing, and God didn't give it to you because He knows what's best? Glory to God for not giving us all the things that we thought we wanted. Why? Call to me, and I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you're not even asking for. I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan. I want you to walk with me, God says. I want to give you everything not you think you want. I want to give you everything you need. Because I'm a good, good Father. Glory to God for that. Maturity is when we realize that God's delays are not always God's denials. God is writing a bigger story in your life and mine than what's just happened recently. It's bigger than that. A couple takeaways here today. Number one, when you don't pray, you miss out on a lot. Can I get a witness on that one? You know, I really think, I don't have a verse of scripture for this particular picture, but it's in there somewhere, right? When we get to heaven, there is going to be a room full of all kinds of unopened packages that we miss because we never asked God for them. Number two, you and I are made to get close to God. We've been created to get close to God. Listen to me. You were not put on this planet to mark things off your to-do list. You and I, our purpose is not just to work, make money, and retire. Church, we have been formed to love God and be loved by Him. Listen, you were put in this earth for a relationship with God that lasts for all eternity. If you miss out on that, sorry, my friend, you have just blown your life. If you've spent your life on other pursuits and you've left out God, you've blown your life. Because God has created you and me to connect with Him. To have this relationship that takes us through this life. And that's final thought there. Don't shut God out. Some of us are here this morning and our hearts are hard because maybe we didn't get what we asked for or we're disappointed or whatever. Don't shut God out, my friend, because no one is ever going to love you like God loves you. No one. No man, no woman, no car, no house, no golf course is ever going to love you. In fact, golf courses hate me, by the way. But there's nobody who's going to love you the way God loves you. No one will ever love you that way. Come to Him. Come to Him. Because here's what He says. Here's His heart for you and me. Mark chapter 10 and verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And so this morning, as we leave in all of our venues, I want to encourage you to come to our prayer board, pick up those pieces of paper that are there. There's some pens there. Write down what it is that you want to see God do in your life in these 40 days. At all of our venues, we have these boards. Let me encourage you to do that as we come together on these 40 days of prayer to seek God's face. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Stand with me this morning, would you please? Father, we love you and we need you. And we seek you. And we thank you for loving us, for listening to us, for moving in our hearts, in the hearts of those we love. And I lift up my brothers and sisters, Lord, in the Church of the Open Door. Oh God, we come today, we come with many, many needs. We come with hopes and dreams. We come with desires, with wants. And we bring them before you, God, you, the God of the universe. Oh God, move powerfully, I pray, in all of our hearts, all of our lives. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Amen.